sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
October 20th, 2009. Wow, how the time is flying so quickly. I remember as a kid, they told me that the older you get, the quicker it goes. And now I'm just like, wow, is that true or is it just my perception? But anyone out there who has found a way to add more than 24 hours in the day, please let me know, because we need it here at American Freedom Radio. By the way, if you want to join us for the text chat tonight, that is over at truthbrigade.com, and we will be taking questions and calls tonight at 512-879-3805. Our guest tonight is Mark Weber. He is a historian, author, lecturer, and current affairs political analyst. He is the director of the Institute for Historical Review out in Orange County, California. The website is ihr.org, or you could also follow them on Twitter at twitter.com/IHROrg, and we are going to be shattering the lies of global policy tonight. What is global policy? There's all sorts of talk about this one world and how we're all one, so we must be ruled by one. Well, you know, it's all fine and dandy and frilly and feel good on the surface, being part of one world, which of course we are. However, when we have one dictator controlling our world, that kind of cuts out room for individuality. And anyways, the ultimate cult concept we're going to tackle tonight. I came across, I got in kind of an engaging conversation about a week ago with some very interesting people on Facebook, which kind of, you know, I don't know, which is the greater fool, the fool who argues or the fool who argues with them, but I just couldn't help myself. I had to comment on these things. I'm going to be sharing these comments with you tonight, because I think it just gives kind of a good insight as to how we are so easily led and lied to, and oh, it's all for the greater good, and your president loves you, your dictator loves you. Okay, well, you know what? How about this? How about we love ourselves just a little bit more, so we are not fooled into thinking we need to impose some authoritarian authority figure over us when, of course, we are our own authority. But we will be right back after this short break with Mark Weber on Truth Brigade Radio.
It has to start somewhere.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Give Big Pharma the boot. Listen in to Natural Answers with Darren Craddock and Steve St. Clair Saturdays from 11 to 1 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I am Christy. I am your host tonight, and we are speaking with Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. The website is IHR.org, and you can follow them on Twitter at twitter.com/IHR.org, and we are going to be shattering the lies of global policy tonight. If you would like to join us for the text chat, that's over at truthbrigade.com. And of course, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 512-879-3805. Mark, how you doing tonight? Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Christy. It's a great pleasure to be on the show. You have a great voice, and I'm very happy to be on with you.
Well, thank you so much. This is quite a large topic. We're going to be jumping in here tonight. And definitely would appreciate some feedback and stuff. But, you know, this whole global governance thing, it's kind of gotten its hands into every aspect of society. And this brought me to some, internet sparring on Facebook, where I'm not too much into labels, but I was labeled a libertarian. Oh, that's so bad. Okay, it's not. It really isn't. But, I mean, for those who have to label me, here it is. I am a divine anarchist, so get your labels right. But getting back to this person kind of putting me in my place, I'd kind of like to start off reading some of these reading this message, because I think it resonates well with the topic of tonight. But basically, the argument or spar, the tiff, was about people taking more responsibility for themselves and their own actions. I suggested something silly like growing your own food so that we don't have to rely on slave labor to feed us. And the response I got back was, wow. Libertarians' gaping wound is that you all expect that people can govern themselves, except there are a couple problems with this little theory. One, we are not properly educated for the world we are raised into. Education in this country is fecal matter, and it turns people into uneducated fecal matter who are in no way equipped to deal with even the problems of their own lives. And two is that there are too many people, and with such rapid advances in science and industry, we've given ourselves far too many ways to destroy ourselves, each others, and our world. With so many people in the world, with the strains on our food supply, clean water supply, and on our environment, I regret to report that mankind must be regulated because we are a bleep disease on this earth. We have nuclear technology. We have technology that destroys whole ecosystems in and under a decade. We are such a dangerous organism growing at such a rapid pace, and the people are way too blind and stupid. So we must be, or the man must control the rest. Wow, that was long-winded. Mark, how do you respond to that theory?
Well, it's hard to respond quickly. One point the person makes, which is I agree with, is that our educational system, in fact, our whole cultural life, is really screwed up. It's been very bad for a long time. America's problems that we're all aware of today economically are not things that have emerged just in the last few years, but are the products of years of deceit by our leaders, of self-deluding thinking, and of being on the wrong path for a long time. So I do grant the person that our leadership has been very bad. And I do grant that an educational system has been way wrong for a long time as well. But having said that, I don't think that we're incapable of self-government at all. I think that we've been told over and over so many lies and false things by our leaders for so long, the American people don't really know what's going on and why. You know, Christy, across the country, it's really remarkable to me, and I've never seen it like this in my lifetime and lifetime of our listeners, I'm sure, people so unhappy across the board with our political leaders and the way our country is going. You find that whether people call themselves Democrats or Republicans, there's a lot of unhappiness, but there's great confusion about how we got into this mess. Very, very few people seem to be have a very clear idea of when we went off the track. You know, I listen, I have to confess, in the morning when I drive into work to Rush Limbaugh. Now, Rush Limbaugh has a lot of listeners. And on one issue, though, he is completely wrong. He was telling his listeners the other morning.
Just one?
Okay. One thing I want to talk about right now. He was telling his listeners that they should be angry not at the system, but they should be just angry at those liberals, and they should be angry at Barack Obama, but they should be supporting good conservative Republicans. And I guess he's thinking of George W. Bush. But in fact, for good reason, people are furious, not just at Barack Obama. In fact, they're more furious at George W. Bush. That's one of the reasons that big reason why Barack Obama was elected. The economy was going down the drain before Barack Obama took office as a result of policies that have been in place long before Barack Obama. But my point is that Rush Limbaugh himself is worried that people are, even his own listeners, so many of them are furious, and justly so, at the leaders, both whether they call themselves Republicans or Democrats, for a long time. Now, to tie it into what this person said, no, I don't think people are incapable of government. However, every society, every healthy society, has to have leaders who think about the future and who have realistic and reality-based outlook on life, and our leaders have not for a long time. And that brings us to the topic of this show, globalism. The whole premise of globalism is essentially a wrong one. It's a false one. And yet, it's one endorsed by our political leaders of both the Democratic and Republican Party, and by our educators and so forth for many years. This nostrum, this illusion about the world should be run globally, has been in place not just for 5 years or 10 years or even 30 years. It was the official policy of our leaders even during World War II. That's why the United Nations was set up. Mm-hmm. Franklin Roosevelt told the American people and believed that the world should be run by a joint coalition of the United States, the Soviet Union, and the British Empire through something called the United Nations. And that's what the United Nations was set up originally, as the coalition of those three countries and the other countries that were opposed against the Axis in World War II. So this idea of globalism and running the world in that way has been in place for a long time, headed by a man, pushed by a man, Franklin Roosevelt, that even today's Republicans think was a great president. Now, that's why this has been skewed for a long time. Now, I think that, of course, when people say people can govern themselves, every healthy society, though, has leaders who think ahead and think about those issues that the ordinary person doesn't have the ability or really, by right, should be really thinking about. We all know people who are very good fathers or mothers or workers or housewives or all sorts of people, but they're not concerned every day about what our agricultural policy should be or what our relations with South America ought to be. Just as when we get on an airplane, we expect that the airplane is going to be flown by pilots who know what they're doing. And that's why the political leadership of a country is very important. We expect them to be thinking ahead and knowing about the things that we and our most people in our ordinary daily lives are unable and not really set to deal with. And that's the way it should be. So I put a tremendous, I point my finger, not so much at the ordinary American, he's been too trusting, but at the leadership of our country who has betrayed our people for far too long.
Wow. Well, yes, I think we all need to take responsibility for this, don't you think? I mean, if we keep sitting back and expecting our so-called leaders or controllers to look for our best interest, I mean, isn't this exactly what has got us in the position we're in today?
Christy, I think that the percentage of people in any society, even a good one, who have the time, the intelligence, the background to think a lot about and be involved in these larger issues is always going to be a minority. That's why what you're doing is important. You do feel passionately about some of these questions, and so do I. But it's not a normal thing that the vast majority of people are like that. And I'm sure you have people in your own family who are very, very good people, but that inclination. The percentage of people in any society who are passionately concerned about these kind of issues or have the wherewithal, the intelligence, even to be concerned, is going to be small. Now, I agree. Right now, to the extent that we all ought to be furious at what's going on, but it's only a small percentage of people in any society that are going to really consistently and over a long period of time really be involved in these issues.
Of course.
I mean, obviously, yes. I mean, people should at least have some care about these things. But when our political leaders tell us that slogans like diversity is our strength, when it's really a lie, when they say that, people ought to at least think to themselves, wait a minute here, I don't think that something sounds wrong here. Or when they tell us other things, or when our political leaders lie to us about wars, we ought to be angry and we ought to throw them out, as George W. Bush and his administration did in lying to the public to get us into the war in Iraq. But the number of people who are going to follow up by passionately fighting not just against war, but against those people who get us into these kinds of wars and get us into these problems is always going to be really a small minority of committed, passionate, intelligent people.
Of course. And, you know, I guess it's like the 80-20 rule. The 80% don't care. The 10 are good, and the 10 are working for bad. So, you know, maybe if whoever gets to the other 80% first wins.
Well, see, this is why I put a big stress on leadership. I mean, it's not that the 80% necessarily are just indifferent. They're focusing in their lives on I mean, my sister is a very good woman. She raises her son. She's a good worker. She's an artist. She teaches at a community college. But she doesn't really know or care about what's going on in the Middle East or what our relations with Iran are or what the what our monetary policy ought to be. Those are things that she never really was interested. But she's a good person. She's a good citizen. There are many people like that. And she counts and hopes and trusts that in our cultural life and in our political life and in our economic life, our leaders or the people who are responsible for those things will be as responsible in their spheres and their areas as she is in her area of life and responsibility.
Very well. What do you think is the biggest obstacle, our most major obstacle when confronting this this global governance system?
Well, it's hard to know where to begin. The whole premise of globalism is that the entire planet ought to be organized on a democratic, universal basis. And that whole premise is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When our leaders tell us, oh, we're all one village, we're one world, well, yeah, that sounds nice in a sense. I mean, I understand what, it sounds nice. But do Americans really want a world in which our living standard, our wages, are going to be pegged at those in Thailand or Bolivia or India? No, I don't think so. And it's crazy.
And they don't want to be like us either.
Of course, and they don't want to be like us either in many ways. Of course, they
and rightfully so.
Everybody would like to live, of course, in a better standard of living than that. Usually, I mean, most people want to live better in a better standard of living. But yeah, socially, people live differently as well. And the arrogance and the idea that we know best about how the whole world ought to be is laughably arrogant. It's horribly arrogant, especially given the immense problems we have here in our own society. And the idea that our leaders so arrogantly pontificate about that, well, you ought to be doing this thing in Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan, or you ought to be living like this in your country, is not only arrogant, it's actually stupid, because what they're doing is telling the world that they ought to do things the way we do in America today, not the way we did them 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, or the way we might do them 10 or 20 years from now. It's an arrogant view that the way we do things in America is the way everybody ought to do them, and it's a view that has no rootedness in history, because history makes us humble. History evil or necessarily bad, any more than 20 or 30 years from now, people are going to look back and be astonished at some of the things we do now that we think are right.
Of course, there's all sorts of reasons to know history, and I mean, I guess my number one reason is, if history repeated itself, would we know? And I think the kind of, well, overwhelming, but kind of the negative, truthful response to that is no. Because we don't know our history or anything about history, and we have depended so much on government or people who we've turned our authority over to control us. I mean, wasn't the original purpose of our government to act as our servants, serve us?
Well, I would say this. American history is different than the history of other societies because this is a very young and a very different kind of society than most of those around the world.
Mm-hmm.
America didn't really become a country until essentially 200 years ago. It was settled by Europeans who came from another continent and were able to take control of a whole continent full of resources and soil and everything, good soil and forest, with almost no effort. And American society has been very dynamic in that way because we're able to sweep across this continent, take control of it, and become very rich in the process.
Mark, hold that thought there, will you, please? We're running into a short break here. We'll be right back. Mark Weber on Truth Brigade Radio.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.
Don't miss Deadline Live with Jack Blood. He doesn't just cover the news, he uncovers the news. Weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Listening to Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. If you want to join us for the text chat tonight, that's over at TruthBrigade.com. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 512-879-3805. Our special guest tonight, Mark Weber, a historian, author, current affairs analyst, and also the director of the Institute for Historical Review. The website is ihr.org. Mark, you're so right about our government being different than other governments and being a new country and such. So let me ask you that we'll stay focused on the U.S. for now and how this global mentality came there's so many facets to this. First of all, because we're depending on the government to educate us, and if we know that the government who's seeking control over our mind, if we're depending on them to edumacate us, well, how much edumacation are we really going to get about the true history? And if we're not getting that, then, of course, how are we able to sit back like yourself and analyze it rationally to make better changes and stuff in our life? And of course, one of the major issues we're being indoctrinated with right now is global warming. And of course, here in America, we're obviously responsible for everything that goes on in the world. So we must tax you 80% for breathing so that we can go save the world, which brings me to another comment that one of our little internet friends left here, talking about why, or explaining why, you know, kooks like, why he can't be a kook like me and move out to the country and have a yard and grow their own food. His answer was, well, I can't because I'm in New York City. Why am I in New York City? Because there are 7 billion people in this world. Urban sprawl is the only answer. We're actually, and he was joking about that, he says there's actually people thinking of building cities upwards because there just isn't enough room in this world. How do we, I mean, come on, has anybody looked at Google Earth? Or have you gotten in a car, a train, a bus, or whatever, and gotten out of your city? I'm sorry to break it to you. There is no shortage of land. We do not have to be controlled in little rat cages. And, you know, so let's kind of talk about the indoctrination of this, what's led to this global mentality.
Well, we're talking about, I think, two different things, Christy. I mean, global mentality does not mean that everybody's going to be living. I mean, an anti-global mentality does not mean that everybody's going to be living out in the country and growing their own vegetables.
Of course.
A society can still be have a large urban population and still be technologically advanced and so forth, while at the same time not being subjected to control by a big global, super global entity. And that's important. I mean, it's important to trade with other countries. But this global mentality is fostered and promoted by our political leaders and our economic leaders. For example, I mean, one of the motives behind globalization is the desire of large corporations to increase their profits by having products produced by cheap labor overseas. Because corporations don't really care about America for the American people. They care about only their own short-term interests and the profits of their corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not globalization exactly. It's just selfishness. It's just they don't give a damn about America. But one of the problems that Americans have, I think that our country has, is we don't have a strong sense of who we are so that we say no to that. We have to say no to that on the basis of some cultural or ethnic or racial basis. Because if it's a country just of individuals, it's very hard to say no to those people who are just trying to enrich themselves as individuals likewise.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why a country like Japan can, which has a much stronger and well-developed and much better rooted sense of ethnic identity and cultural identity and so forth, can resist these forces of globalization or these forces of economic selfishness, you might say, than the United States can, because we don't have the same developed sense of ethnic or cultural, racial, religious cohesion that some other countries have. I mean, that's both the strength and the weakness of America. You know, in personalities, in individuals, a person's strength is often his weakness. A person who's very outgoing and gregarious, that might be a strength, but sometimes it's also a weakness and so forth. And the strength of America has been, I think, that we didn't care much about history, that we didn't, we were not constrained by social convention and so forth in the way some other countries have been. We just got the job done. That's been a big American thing. And in fact, for a long time, Americans prided themselves, took pride in the notion that we don't give a damn about history. We just go and forge ahead, regardless of what the way things people did them in the past. But we're coming, I think, to a different period in American history, a kind of mature period where we've expanded the outer limits now, I think, or more or less the outer limits geographically and in resources of our country. This is not the America of 1860 or even 1960. This is now in the 21st century, and we are now faced with problems that we never used to be faced before with as a country, but which other societies have had to deal with over the centuries in a way that we haven't.
Okay, so, I mean, you recognize that I guess part of the problem is that we're so disconnected from history and being able to recognize patterns and such, but how do we get a good dose of history if we're relying on the school books that we know are lying to us?
Yeah, that's a problem. That is a big problem. That's why I urge people to check out our website and the websites of alternative people who transcend or go beyond what the delusional, I think, history and the presentation that we get in our schools. Look, Christy, to put it another way, America is a country with a very strong individualistic streak, and Americans are very unhappy that their liberties are being curtailed and so forth, and this is very hard to understand because we're a country that has this very strong individual sense, the sense of individual liberty, but we're also social beings. We're also a country. We cannot simultaneously say that we uphold the principle of individualism while at the same time then being angry if the leaders don't care about our people as Americans or as a country, if they're out just trying to better themselves as individuals as well. Because a healthy society is one that has a strong sense of itself as a country and as a nation. Look, the most obvious example of that is in our immigration policy. If a country doesn't have control its borders, it's not really a country.
Mm-hmm.
But Americans tend to be much more lackadaisical about borders because so many people say, well, they're individuals too. People coming across the border, they're just trying to better themselves as individuals. And so it's more difficult than a country like Japan or Russia or another country that has a much more cohesive cultural, ethnic or racial sense to close the borders or to control the borders than we do in our country.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also individualistic in our I mean by it. We're facing now, it didn't matter about open borders so much 100 years ago when people came into the United States, we didn't really care. But now open borders mean the arrival in this country of millions of people from very, very different cultural and ethnic societies than we're used to in our country.
I mean, absolutely.
To put it more bluntly, to put it another way, I mean, here in California, California has just been transformed culturally and ethnically and racially over the past 60 years. It's been changed more radically than Eastern Europe was when it was occupied for 40 years by the Soviet Union. The old California of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s is gone and gone forever. It's not coming back. It's not coming back in the same way that New York is never going back to the Indians. It's not going to happen. And even in people's lifetimes, this transformation has taken place in California. Now, why did it take place? How did it happen? Well, Americans just took for granted that, well, the prosperity and the way we did things in the 40s and 50s and 60s was just going to stay that way forever. Well, it's not going to stay that way forever. And one of the problems, I think, in our country is we've had the luxury of taking things for granted for an awful long time, and now we can no longer take those for granted. And we have to make some hard, there's no easy answer to some of these questions. If we're going to enforce our borders, it's going to mean a lot of individual tragedy for a lot of people. But that's life. That's inevitable if we're really serious about that. But that's always been like that. When America broke away from Britain in 1775, it meant a lot of individual tragedy, a lot of individual heartache for a lot of people. Or when the Union was held together, when the Confederacy broke away in the American Civil War, forcing the South back into the United States again may have been a good thing, but it was done at an enormous cost in human suffering and death and so forth. But if America is serious about its borders, if it's serious about itself as a country, it's going to be making some hard decisions that are going to mean some pain for some people.
Well, absolutely. You know, the border, the immigration issue, it is a very sensitive issue either way, but I'd like to know more about what is fueling it. I mean, we can blame capitalism, but ultimately it's corporatism, but we know that the people behind the flood of immigration is not doing it because they care about these people. They're doing it because they want more slaves. And of course, with the enforcement, lack of enforcement, vice versa, anyone who believes in a secure border is a racist, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's really got us all in a touchy position. So basically, what's the motive behind this agenda?
Well, I'd say in the Republican Party leadership, the motive is cheap labor. It's selfish economic interest. And for Democrats, it's the prospect that these immigrants will vote for the Democratic Party. They're both thinking about their short-term and their limited interests, and they're not thinking about the long-term interests of the country. But, you know, Christy, this is the same debate, the same argument that took place in the early 19th century over the issue of slavery. All the founding fathers, every intelligent American leader knew that there would be severe problems down the road bringing slaves from Africa to the United States. But why did it happen? It happened because it was cheap labor. And even people who knew that it was a bad thing in the long run cooperated with it. Thomas Jefferson and George Washington both knew that in the long run, bringing lots of people from Africa as slaves to this country was going to have very severe long-term consequences, bad consequences for the country. But they benefited from it in the short run. Thomas Jefferson believed that the African slaves should eventually be deported from the United States. But he himself owned slaves. It's a little bit like some of the Americans today who say, we have to enforce our borders, but they still don't mind benefiting from cheap labor from Mexico, for example.
Exactly. Just another version of slavery. So have things really changed at all?
It's still putting one's short-term interest ahead of the long-term interest. And that's why it's so important to have leadership that's able to say, this is where we're going and this is why we're doing it. And even though we might have to do things that are uncomfortable in the short run, this has to be done in the long run. This is
all
true
right.
in business, and it's true in families, and it's true in corporations. It's true in football teams.
Mark, I hear the music, so please hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. We will be right back with Mark Weber on Truth Brigade Radio.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Deadline Live and Jack Blood are proud to announce our new bookstore. Okay, it's not really our online bookstore where you can get every title, book, and DVD you hear about on our live show. It's brought to you by the people at Brave New Books. BraveNewBookstore.com is the newest, bravest, and most complete bookstore online today. And their DVD selection has all the titles you need to decode the New World Order and fight the information war. BraveNewBookstore.com has awesome t-shirts to proudly display your patriotism and liberty stickers to alert the public at large. Brave New Books is physically located at 1904 Guadalupe Street under the Chase Bank building next to UT in Austin, Texas. So stop on by and maybe stay for one of their film showings. Go to BraveNewBookstore.com now to peruse the virtual bookstore and look for the Jack Blood recommended section. Or call them at 866-516-6623. 866-516-6623 to order the books and videos you hear about on Deadline Live. Be the resistance. Tell your friends about BraveNewBookstore.com.
Warning. 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 American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Listen to America's Lady of Liberty, Karen Katowski, on American Forum. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 5 to 7 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Our special guest tonight, Mark Weber, is the director of the Institute for Historical Review. The website is IHR.com. IHR.org, or you can follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/IHROrg. Mark, we have kind of a short segment here, so I just kind of want to jump right into the meat and potatoes. But, you know, a lot of this is done under the guise of something that sounds good. For instance, free trade.
Right.
So then we bring about NAFTA and CAFTA and destroy more jobs and import more slavery. I mean, what's the solution to the solution? That's we don't have enough time tonight to talk about that, maybe. But this whole free trade scam, if you can kind of talk about that.
Christy, I think the situation is so bad in our country, and our leaders are have so betrayed the interests of our country and our people that we have to build a coalition of people who are dissidents, who are opposed to all of this. And I mean shows like yours. I mean organizations like the Institute for Historical Review. There has to be a building up of people who reject the lies, the deceit, and the agenda of both of the major political parties, I think. And that's going to be a long-term and very difficult thing. And it's not going to be easy because we're up against very entrenched interests that are going to fight to hold on to the power and the wealth that they have. The best thing that we do have going for us right now, I think, is the anger, the fury across the board in this country. It's amazing. People are fed up. They see the America that they grew up in and the America they love dying out and disappearing before their eyes. And they have very, very few leaders to explain to them why and what we need to do. But first of all, and foremost, we need to build up an alternative media, an alternative organization that at least are saying no to the forces that are ruining our country and ruining our world.
Absolutely. You know, there was a good comment that came up on the text chat. Maybe we can turn this global governance into global sovereignty. How difficult would that be?
Well, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to need a lot of work, and there isn't an easy answer. It's not going to turn around by electing John McCain or another George Bush or a Ronald Reagan. Those things aren't. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to be much worse. It'll be something like another second American Revolution. It'll be something along those lines, something very, very dramatic, because the problems are very deep-rooted, so the solution has to be very deep-rooted as well, has to be serious, has to be radical. Radical, the word radical comes from the Latin word for root, and if a problem is deep-rooted, the only solution has to be a radical one, one that goes to the root of the problem. And the problems we have in this country are unfortunately very entrenched, very deep-rooted, and it's going to mean going an alternative to the system as we've set it up as it's grown up in our country.
Okay, yeah, radical isn't so bad. But now if you think for yourself, you have been labeled a terrorist, of course, on this global war on terror.
Well, you've got to be used to that, too. There's going to be, as you know, Christy, I and people like this are labeled all sorts of terrible things, but that's just the way it is. And we talked about this earlier. You know, I'm denounced by organizations like the Anti-Defamation League, the Zionist Jewish organizations in this country. Being called names just goes with the territory. And, in fact, if you're not being called names by groups like that, I don't think you're doing your job, or you're not being effective, and it means opposing those forces that are wrecking our society and wrecking our world.
Well, you know, any enemy of the ADL is certainly a friend of ours. So I congratulate you on being listed as their. I guess, what are you officially like a hate group according to their terms, or?
Hate group, it's a whole lot of bad names. But it's all silly. It's all ridiculous, really. I mean, no organization does more to support and justify oppression and tyranny than do organizations like the ADL. These are organizations with a long track record of apology for and support of what Israel does, including actions by Israel that are against U.S. law and certainly U.S. interest and the interests of our people. Not merely injustice and bad things in the abstract, but concretely very, very harmful and bad things in real concrete terms. But, you know, I don't care because when you're being called names, that's coming from people who just want to shut you up and make sure you're just not heard by anyone. But fortunately for us, Americans are willing to listen a lot more than they used to because they can see things going in a wrong direction. This is borne out in public opinion poll after public opinion poll. Americans know something is going very wrong, and they don't know where we got off the track, and that's why shows like this and the work that we're doing is very important.
You know, the ADL, I think it's very important to talk about them because they not only have an extremely shady history and definite ties to the mob, they also supposedly promote mourning or education on the Holocaust and their version of that. What's really interesting, though, the Bronfmans and ADL, when they started this, didn't they collect like $4 million for Holocaust survivors? And according to them, the Holocaust survivors actually got not one red cent. And here they are now legislating what a hate crime is, what you're allowed to say, think, do. But I hear the music, so let's pick this back up on the other side. And we are going to be right back. At the top of the hour, Mark Weber is our guest tonight, Shattering the Lies of Global Policy. The website is IHR.org. That's the Institute for Historical Review. We will be right back on Truth Brigade Radio.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
I want it!
Rents Radio with Jeff Rents. Deadline Live with Jack Blood. The Truth Brigade. Truth Jihad Radio. Liberty Cafe. Weird Radio Russell Dowden. And so much more. American Freedom Radio.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than... time than now.
Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Mark, we have a real short segment here, but I want to make a correction. I lied. It was so not intentional. I said that they collected 4 million. The truth is they collected 6.5 billion. Yes, that is billion with a B. I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of the ADL, but I mean, just for purposes of this short segment here, the ADL essentially is the mob. And now we have the mob training our law enforcement. We have the mob collecting money and implementing legislation telling us what we're allowed to say, think, do, feel, what we're allowed, where we're allowed to go, where we're allowed to say what we say. And you know, put it out there and clear the record, I just want to make it be known that my free speech zone is anywhere I open my mouth. And I would just hope that everyone else would, you know, kind of stand up and feel the same way and not buy into this fear of being a terrorist because your opinions, beliefs, truths are different than what they would have you believe.
Right. Well, we're mixing up some things here a bit, Christy. The ADL, the World Jewish Congress, AIPAC, the Simon Wiesenthal Center are all very important and powerful Jewish Zionist organizations. And the big shakedown for money in the name of Holocaust survivors was carried out by the World Jewish Congress. But in addition to that, the ADL, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, others exploit this and push this in our society, in our cultural life, motion pictures, education, school classrooms, and so forth. But I think you're mixing some things here. I mean, the big
it's all the Bronfmans, the World Jewish Congress, the ADL, and those are the people implementing these laws, and they're also the people training our law enforcement. So, if I'm mixing something up, please let me know.
Well, Edgar Bronfman was president of the World Jewish Congress. He was associated directly with the Anti-Defamation League. The organizations have very similar agendas, but Edgar Bronfman, strictly speaking, was with the World Jewish Congress. And the World Jewish Congress played this amazing role. It also, the campaign by the World Jewish Congress, highlighted the corruption of our political leaders. Specifically, the World Jewish Congress was pressing for billions from banks in Switzerland, which they got eventually, and also pressured the legislatures of California and New York to pass resolutions that unless Switzerland caved in to this blackmail campaign by the World Jewish Congress, Swiss banks would not be allowed to do business in those states. That effectively meant they wouldn't be allowed to do business in the United States at all. So the political leaders in our country, because Americans are pretty ignorant about all of this, didn't suffer any negative consequences by voting for a resolution that was an example of the corruption of our political system, putting the interests of the Jewish Zionist organization ahead of the interests of their own people and of the United States of America to further an alien, a specific, a different agenda by a very small minority group in this country. But this double standard with regard to the shakedown of Swiss banks, the blackmailing of other countries and individuals, is just one example of the way in which our political system is skewed and
absolutely
alien interests.
Mark, hold that thought, please. We're out of time. We're coming back for a much longer segment with Mark Weber on Truth Brigade Radio.
Hey, Jack Blood here, host of Deadline Live. I wanted to share with you my secret weapon in fighting the new world order. It's a new product called Enerfood. Enerfood is bar none the best health supplement I've tried, and I've tried them all. With many ingredients like spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, barley grass, alfalfa leaf, beetroot, orange peel, winter cherry root, it really is nothing less than superfood. I couldn't imagine having to shop and prepare all of these ingredients, but now I don't have to. Enerfood's done it for me. A simple scoop of powder every day is all it takes. No fillers, no miracle claims, no magic bullets. Just a real product with real results. Call them today and mention Jack Blood and get a special discount. Get the two-pack special with the coconut oil powder. Call them now, 1-866-762-9238. 1-866-762-9238. Or simply go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, enerfood.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at mainmilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MAINEMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Get out! Ready for some fun and excitement on Saturday nights at the Liberty Cafe? Join Nancy Robbins and all her friends from 7 to 9 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. And if you'd like to join us in the text chat, that's over at TruthBrigade.com. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 512-879-3805. We are here with Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, historian, author, lecturer, and current affairs analyst. The website is ihr.org, and we are talking about the lies of global policy tonight. ADL, World Jewish Congress, Edgar Bronfman Jr., Edgar Bronfman Sr., you know, aren't they all kind of the same thing? And you know, when we're talking about these global policies or the global mentality that we've become inundated with, it's, you know, anyone can look at the history and see that, that basically everything has been infiltrated from, you know, way back when they were in bootlegging, and then, of course, started Seagrams, and then, of course, which goes to banking, mining, real estate, narcotics, etc., training our law enforcement, implementing legislature to tell us what we're allowed to see, hear, think, and say, and then most recently the No Place for Hate program, which is infiltrating all of our schools and the public indoctrination system. So, wow! Why, you know, it kind of blows my mind that people don't recognize it and see it for what it is. Right. What do you think the block there is?
Christy, I agree. I mean, what they all have in common is that they promote the agenda of a very small minority, but powerful minority group in our country. They promote the interests of the organized Jewish community and Israel, even when those interests are very different than the interests of our people, of Americans, and of the world. It's not merely that Edgar Bronfman and his family has this long history in bootlegging and crime and so forth. Even if there was no history like that, the promotion of the interest of Jewish Zionist interest is the reason why that these organizations are bad and why they're trouble, why they're not good.
Well, of course, besides the fact that they're the ones that implement prohibition, and then the ones that bootleg it, and then the ones that continue it with the black market, and then, of course, the ones implementing introducing prohibition, whether it's for hemp or marijuana or for alcohol. So it's like they've got all sides of it.
Well, okay. I mean,
we're going to promote it, but it's bad for you to do. And then we're going to make it illegal for you if you get caught. But we don't get caught because we're controlling the scenes here.
Right. Well, I mean, the big problem isn't that they're doing nasty things in a general way. It's that they're promoting interests that are harmful. And the most biggest expression of that is this perverse alliance the United States has with Israel, and the pressing of the United States to get involved in wars, of very destructive, horrible wars that are harmful to our people in our country. Look, this was already an issue in 1948 in the White House when President Truman faced the question of whether the United States could even recognize the new state of Israel. This is in May 1948. And the Secretary of State of the United States at that time, George Marshall, who was Chief of Staff of the military during World War II, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, the Near East Section Chief of the State Department, and many others all warned President Truman that if the United States recognized Israel, we would be involved inevitably down the road into conflicts which were contrary to our interests. And George Marshall warned President Truman even then that if you do this, you will be putting the interests of your political party and the Democratic Party ahead of the interests of the United States and the world. And that's,
well, what are we doing in their politics, and what are they doing in ours anyways?
Well, that's right. And even then, this is already in 1948, and this was just a question of whether the United States should recognize Israel as a state. Not whether we should give them aid, but even to recognize them, because normally we wouldn't even recognize a country like that. But even then, Truman put the interests of his party, because the organized Jewish community was already very powerful, even in 1948, within the Democratic and Republican parties, and was pressing for politicians to support the Zionist agenda. This is back in 1948, and President Truman made the fateful decision to back Israel against the advice of his own Secretary of State and other people who foresaw what was happening and what would happen, and their warnings came absolutely true. But I keep stressing, this is the original sin of America's Middle East foreign policy, already in 1948, and we're seeing that same corruption, that same misplacement of interest, that same bad leadership has been in place with regard to the Middle East in the years ever since, all those years ever since. Right now, our political leaders are going on about how we should get ready for war against Iran because they might be building a nuclear weapon. Might be. But we don't hold Israel to that standard. Israel has an arsenal of nuclear weapons, has blown off...
That we paid for.
Utterly contemptuous of the international treaty obligations about nuclear weapons, but we turn a blind eye to what Israel does, but we hold other countries to a standard that we do not hold Israel to. And the world...
Yeah, that tiny little country that we funded and created and then genocided many others that have been there for hundreds of years.
And the world understands that. That's why around the world there's a very different outlook on this matter than there is in this country, because our people are the most blinded, the most misled, the most brainwashed when it comes to the Middle East of any country in the world, because the role of the organized Jewish community in our economic, our political, and our cultural and media life is so great that it's distorted how our people look at these things. And that's
absolutely
why the rest of the world has a very different take on this than our political leaders in this country do. And this is
absolutely
a reflection of the corruption of our political system.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Mark, we have a caller on the line. It's no area code, though. It's a blocked number, so if that is you, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. How are you people doing tonight?
Oh, hi. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Just had a couple quick questions for him. Some very interesting concepts he brought up there. Since you're in California, what is your perception on... the hate laws that are going through, where they're actually using them in San Diego to go against people resisting the immigration issue at the border, and then you find out that the actual sponsors of it, the ADL, are actually organized crime. And how many people understand that the city of San Diego is being owned, operated, and run by organized crime right at this point in time?
Okay, well...
Ooh, I'm raising my hand. I just fled from there.
Well... Was specifically about these hate laws. Of course, the ADL has been pushing for these so-called hate crimes or hate laws for a long time. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, these Zionist organizations have been pushing this for a long time. I'm very concerned about that, and these laws would be very bad. But I have a slightly different take about this than some other people. I'm dubious that they will actually be successful in implementing these laws. And the reason I say that is that the efforts by the ADL and its counterpart in Canada and by the Canadian Jewish Congress to introduce laws like that in Canada have now fallen apart. They've now failed. They introduced similar laws like that in Canada, and they were such an embarrassment for reasons which I've gone into on other occasions, the thing has basically fallen apart. And I doubt that such a law can be effectively introduced in this country. Now, knock on wood, I share the same concerns that you and every decent and honest American ought to about this danger to our liberty. But I'm very dubious about how effectively they're going to be able to introduce and make such laws actually stick in this country, given the inability even to uphold them in Canada, which has less of a tradition of free speech than the United States of America. Now, I might be wrong, but right now I'm not quite as gloomy or as pessimistic as some people are about this. And, of course, we should be very vigilant in any case.
I have another question for you. With regards to the Institute for Historical Review, I know Willis Cardo and some of the guys who were involved with American Free Press were involved with it, and you were involved with a lawsuit that took the media away from them. What's your viewpoint on what happened there?
Well, several years ago, the IHR and I and the other side in this dispute signed a formal agreement to end the dispute. And that was concluded a couple of years ago. It was finally made into a court order. And so as part of the condition of that settlement, I am not allowed to comment on the dispute. And so I'm going to just take a pass on that. I would just say that every issue has different sides, and people, if they want to, can look into it themselves. But unfortunately, I'm not at liberty, really, to talk about that on this show. And I think, really, it's probably not all that relevant for most people who are listening anyway.
Well, okay.
I appreciate it.
But the end result was you got the Institute for Historical Review in your pocket as a result of whatever happened there, correct?
But I'm not going to comment about that. I don't want to get into a big. I can't really comment on that. I'm prohibited. That's the agreement that we made. So I appreciate the spirit of your question. I'd like to be able to answer it, but unfortunately, as part of this legal agreement, I can't comment about that.
All right, fair enough. With respect to when you mentioned Israel and you talked about the nuclear weapons, do you realize Richard Nixon, in an agreement with Israel, gave them the nuclear weapons? It was a conscious decision by our country to do that?
I know what you're talking about. It wasn't that Nixon gave the nuclear weapons to Israel. You're talking about a document. Actually, we put this document on our website just the other week. It was a classified secret document for quite a few years. It's a memo by Henry Kissinger, who at that time was national security advisor to President Nixon, in which he talks bluntly that Israel has this nuclear arsenal and the United States wishes they didn't. But Kissinger states in the memo that the United States, the Nixon administration, is not able to force Israel to abide by its agreements with the United States or with the international agreements on nuclear weapons without coming, as he puts it, under tremendous political pressure. So, in other words, the power of the organized Jewish community was so great then that the Nixon administration didn't follow up. And that's basically been the view. Not only the Nixon administration, but the Kennedy administration was concerned about Israel either developing or having nuclear weapons, but the domestic fallout would have been too great to make an issue of that. It would have destroyed the party and the administration. And this power of the organized Jewish community is also shown again in the Obama administration. The Obama administration would like Israel to stop building these settlements in the occupied West Bank territories of Palestine. Those settlements are illegal under international law, but the Obama administration will not put any pressure on Israel to do that. Instead, we continue to give Israel military aid and economic aid, and of course, very important diplomatic support from the United Nations to help Israel.
Now, when you mentioned it's the power structure connected to Obama, to Nixon, do you know exactly who and what that is? Because I do.
Well, tell me what you think. Give me your opinion.
The Annenberg Foundation.
The what foundation?
The Annenberg, Walter Annenberg, the Annenberg Foundation.
Well, I know about it, but what are you saying its relationship is to the Nixon administration?
Walter Annenberg, if you've heard of Operation Mockingbird, correct?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Operation Mockingbird was the CIA program in the 50s and the 60s to basically take over our media. And who was the sponsor working with the CIA to do that? It was none other than Walter Annenberg, who also handpicked Richard Nixon's entire cabinet when he was in office, including Henry Kissinger.
Well, okay, I don't know that Annenberg picked Henry Kissinger, but
I do know that. You can look at the American Academy for Diplomacy, and you will see that it's founded by the Annenberg Foundation, and you will see a photo of Henry Kissinger there. It's all over the web.
Okay. Well, that's something I need to look into then.
Okay. Now, did you hear of the program called No Place for Hate? I mean, not Place for Hate. I meant to say No Child Left Behind. You've heard of that program, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which was set up. Do you know who set that up?
Well, I don't know who set it up. I mean, I know it was introduced by the Bush administration.
for the law. It was introduced by the Annenberg School Reform Institute out of Brown University up in Providence, Rhode Island, which is the hometown of Buddy Ciani, the Prince of Providence.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what was the power structure that brought Obama to become president? What was he doing? What was that organization he was working for in Chicago?
It's called ACORN.
It was called Annenberg of Chicago, the No Child Left Behind program.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. I don't know about some of the details, some of the points you're making specifically, but the No Child Left Behind Act was passed by Congress. My point is...
Correct.
Please? What?
The sponsor of No Child Left Behind is the Annenberg Foundation.
Okay, but my point...
Walter Annenberg's father is Moses Annenberg, the right-hand man of Al Capone to form the syndicate.
Okay, but my point, I think a larger point here is that the No Child Left Behind Act, or these things you're talking about, are approved and sanctioned by our Congress. And whoever sponsors a specific piece of legislation is less important, in my mind, than the fact that our political leaders sanction and approve laws. They have the power to say no to those things, and they don't.
Who bought our Congress?
Well, that's the point, is that the Congress can be bought. I mean,
forgot that what their job that we supposedly hired them for, and that is to serve the people. They are our servants.
Right.
But I hear the music. It is that time again. Caller, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to take a short break here. We will be right back with Mark Weber on Truth Brigade Radio.
All of which are American dreams. All of which are American dreams.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience
experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2 months supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Awaken your human potential. Listen to Unzipping Reality with Leah LaChapelle, weekdays 12 noon to 1 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Listening to Trick Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. If you want to join us for the text chat tonight, that's over at TruthBrigade.com. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 512-879-3805. Our special guest tonight, Mark Weber. He is the director of the Institute for Historical Review. The website is ihr.org, and we are shattering the lies of global policy. Mark, I mean, whether the ADL and the history to the mob, whether we recognize that or delve into that. I mean, there's obviously a lot of corporate backing or control that would obviously serve the purpose of keeping that out of history. So nonetheless, I mean, I know it's okay to say Rothschild and Rockefeller, so I do just want to bring up that the Bronfmans were set up by the Rothschilds in the 1800s. So it's really interesting how we're not taught the true history of this and the mob and all these people. You know, once again, it's they're controlling the thing, but they're also legislating it. And it's not just liquor and drugs. It's real estate, mining, banking, Hollywood, media. I mean, even the Weather Channel now, it's getting a little bit ridiculous. But I want to know, like, as I said before, any enemy of the ADL is a friend of mine, and you happen to make it to their hit list. Can you tell us why or how?
Well, the ADL is unhappy with everybody from Jimmy Carter to Ron Paul and me. And
yes, some of our very good
being on the ADL hit list is just, as I said earlier, that goes with the territory. I think
it's kind of like a reward or an honor in my book. So I'm just wondering what you did that was so horrible in their eyes to target you.
Well, they say a lot of things that are just not true, but they claim that, the biggest thing is anyone who is opposing the Jewish Zionist agenda is going to be attacked by the ADL, and that's just the way it is. That's just how they operate. And they're not interested in the arguments. They're not interested in discussing these issues. They're interested in defaming and blackening the reputation of those who disagree with them. They're engaged in a war, in a fight. And many people have this idea that they can deal with the ADL by trying to be reasonable. But the ADL and the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the World Jewish Congress aren't interested in facts. They're not interested in fairness. They're interested in winning. They're interested in crushing those people whom they regard as hostile or dangerous to their interests.
Why is it that anyone who thinks for themselves or has their own opinions or say questions them or even questions the Holocaust, why is it that all of a sudden everyone is racist when they, in fact, are the true racists?
So there's no state in the world that is more obviously today upholds the principle of discrimination on the basis of ancestry than the state of Israel. The state of Israel, groups like the ADL and the Simon Wiesenthal and the World Jewish Congress have the gall, the arrogance, to demand one standard for all countries in the world except Israel, and then another standard for Israel. They demand that all countries open their borders and open their arms to everybody, regardless of their ancestry and their background, especially if they're Jewish. They're supposed to be very welcoming of Jews. But in the state of Israel, the country is supposed to be a country for Jews. It has an immigration policy based on ancestry. And it has laws in the state based on ancestry. But for other countries, the same organization, the ADL, which says here in the United States, diversity is our strength, is the same organization that tells everyone that Israel has to stay a specifically Jewish state. It doesn't say that Ireland should stay an Irish or a Catholic state. It doesn't say, it would be curious if people apply that same standard in any other country.
But absolutely.
This hypocrisy is just absolutely galling, and it's one of the reasons why people increasingly regard groups like the ADL not merely as irritating, but downright evil, because they're promoting an obvious double standard, an obvious deceitful agenda. And nowhere is that more obvious than in the way they uphold and defend policies by Israel that they denounce and they regard as terrible if carried out by any other country.
Yeah, it does seem the policies are quite one-sided. In fact, we seem to be spending an exorbitant amount of our tax dollars, our stolen tax dollars, mind you, on that tiny little state of Israel. There's a whole wide world out there, never mind our own country with homeless veterans and such. Why do you think we are playing favorites?
Well, it's obvious, Christy. The organized Jewish community has a grip on our cultural life and our political life. And it's not merely the money that's given directly from Israel. It's the skewing of our national interests for Israeli and Zionist interests in a way that hurts absolutely everybody. The best example of that is the invasion of Iraq. If Israel had not favored, and the organized Jewish community had not pushed for the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq, the United States wouldn't have attacked. This has been laid out, and I think very well documented, by many people, including myself. I've written extensively on this subject. The war against Iraq, or the Iraq invasion, was essentially a war for Israel. And now we're being revved up again for a war against Iran. And our political leaders, two Republican congressmen, just recently blatantly, openly said that we should be going to war against Iran because Israel might be in danger. This is crazy. This is unbelievable. They talk all the time. American politicians talk all the time about security for Israel and Israelis, but nobody seems to give a damn about the security for the people who are living under Israeli oppression, mainly the Palestinians.
Exactly, or even the true Jews themselves, not the Eastern European communists claiming to be Jews. You know, there's another little incident in history that, a little bit of bad blood, and there's different stories, I guess. But, I mean, the fact is, June 8th, 1967, the USS Liberty was attacked by Israeli jet fighter planes. And of course, that was all covered up. But if you could, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, the U.S. Liberty, there's a very, very good book that just came out a few months ago by a man named Scott, who's the son of one of the crew members of the USS Liberty. And he goes into great detail, too, about the background, the cover-up, and the way in which our political leaders rush that under the table to so that Israel wouldn't be discredited, so that to uphold Israeli interests. And this is just unbelievable. I mean, we, America's political leaders put Israeli interests and the Israeli agenda above any American agenda. And part of the problem, as I went to earlier, is that Americans have a very hard time even defining what an American agenda is and what American interests are, because we've been so confused, so misled by our political leaders, that Americans are, many of them, confused about what it even means to be an American, what America stands for, what it is, and who we are. If we don't
absolutely
have
time, maybe if we quit looking to these outside sources and people we know are lying to us as leaders, that could perhaps be one step in the right direction in solving these problems.
Well, the organized Jewish community is powerful because it's focused. Because even though Jews make up 2 or 3% of the population, they have an agenda. They have a firm sense of who they are, and a firm sense and a focused sense of their interests. But the vast majority of Americans have no such interest. Congressmen do not push an agenda in Congress that is pro-Baptist or pro-Lutheran or pro-Polish or pro-white or pro-anything. But Jews, the organized Jewish community, pushes a very focused pro-Jewish and pro-Israeli agenda. And
so it's okay to kill Americans, and Americans are just going to forget about it and continue to follow the leader and suck up the lies.
Well, because,
and then we're going to go invade how many other countries since then?
Christy, I think one of the great tragedies is that so many Americans who consider themselves conservative are willing to excuse anything as long as the leader who's doing it is flying and waving the American flag. They think that, well, if it's done in the name of the United States of America, it must be good. And that's the great tragedy, because our political system and the United States of America has been hijacked. Our political system has been taken over by people who don't have the interests of our people at heart. And they're willing to send young Americans off to die, even to die, much less to take our tax money.
Well, war is big business, so you got to keep promoting or creating wars on any level. Ultimately, of course, it is the war for our mind, and that's where we need to step up and say no. Mark, we have another caller on the line. Russ is here. I'm sure he has a couple questions for you. How you doing tonight, Russ?
I'm doing wonderful, Christy. Thank you for letting me in. You're sounding awesome as always.
Mark, thank you.
You've spent a long time studying, is it American history, world, I guess global history, huh?
Yes, I have. For both.
Okay. What's the history of the Bible in America?
Oh, my goodness, sir. That's a short question with a...
Russ, we have like 3 minutes left of the break. Come on.
Just a brief version.
Okay, Cliff Notes.
Well, I don't even get what you're getting to. I mean, are you asking what's your take, sir? I mean, what is? I don't even know where you're going with.
No, we're not. I didn't mean to be obtuse or difficult. I wanted to be a short, quick question because I knew the time was short. And I'm not interested in getting into a philosophical debate about it. I just was interested in your study, a cliff note on the history of the Bible in America. It was a part of the founding of this country, yes, no?
Well, the founders of the country overwhelmingly in the early days were Christians. Yeah, that's right. And I don't know quite where you're going with that. I mean, Christianity used to play a much more important role, of course, obviously, in our cultural life and our national life, and it doesn't anymore. And the Bible is less and less important than it used to be. That's obviously true. But I don't know what you're getting at or how you're what even angle you have on this.
Well, there was no angle. I wanted to get your take on the history of the Bible in America.
Well, when you say history of the Bible,
I have an angle.
You mean the history of the book? The book called the Bible in American history, or what?
Well, or it's used. It's, I mean, I think we've covered. You said it. Your study of history reflects that the founding fathers were predominantly faith-based or Bible-believing people, whatever their denomination. And I added a little bit to your statement, but that's and that confirms what I believe history reflects, and it also counters a lot of revisionist history. What is there? Is there any truth in this? There's people out here now who are saying that the Confederation of the States was, of course, the first document, and then the 3.5 years later, the Constitution was written to avoid a permanent or perpetual war with the Crown. And in essence, the Founding Fathers traded their chains of rust for chains of gold in writing the Constitution. Any truth in that?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. No, I mean, the Constitution was... the Constitution that we have today replaced the one that existed, the Articles of Confederation, because they believed that only a stronger federal government could carry out policies that were going to be in the interest of the country.
Mark, can you hold that thought there? Because we're going to a short break here. We'll be back for the last segment and finish this up on the other side. Mark Weber on Truth Brigade Radio.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Deadline Live and Jack Blood are proud to announce our new bookstore. Okay, it's not really our online bookstore where you can get every title, book, and DVD you hear about on our live show. It's brought to you by the people at Brave New Books. BraveNewBookstore.com is the newest, bravest, and most complete bookstore online today. And their DVD selection has all the titles you need to decode the New World Order and fight the information war. BraveNewBookstore.com has awesome t-shirts to proudly display your patriotism and liberty stickers to alert the public at large. Brave New Books is physically located at 1904 Guadalupe Street under the Chase Bank Building next to UT in Austin, Texas. So stop on by and maybe stay for one of their film showings. Go to BraveNewBookstore.com now to peruse the virtual bookstore and look for the Jack Blood recommended section. Or call them at 866-516-6623. 866-516-6623 to order the books and videos you hear about on Deadline Live. Be the resistance. Tell your friends about BraveNewBookstore.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Can you handle the truth? Tune into the Truth Brigade with Christy Chikowski weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. This is the last segment with our special guest tonight, Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. Mark, if you would, just please continue where we left off before the break in answering his question.
When the man asked the question, I was a little unsure of what he meant. He asked about the role of the Bible in America. What he's really interested in, I think, is not the Bible, but the role of Christianity in American political life. He's not asking about the role of a book. He's asking about the role of religion in American life. One of the unusual things about the United States of America is that for its time, it was one of the most liberal societies in the world. The United States Constitution was the first constitution, or one of the very first constitutions of any country in the world, that wasn't very specific about religion or about Christianity. Remember, at the time, governments in Europe were overwhelmingly monarchies, and they were explicit about being Christian, being either Protestant or Catholic in some cases. And the United States of America was established on with less of a religious foundation than other countries were at that time. And it did establish a kind of separation of church and state. Now, having said that, Christianity has been the religion of the overwhelming majority of the American people, even though it was never an official religion. In most of European states, there was an official religion. It was officially Anglican in the case of England, or it was officially Lutheran or officially Catholic. So for its time, it was fairly liberal. And some of the early founding fathers were rather skeptical about Christianity, such as Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. But we've seen an erosion of the role of Christianity in American life over the last 50, 60 years. It's been very dramatic. For those who are over the age of, say, 50, they remember when stores were all closed on Sundays in the United States. That was out of respect for Christianity, for the idea that Sunday is the Sabbath and that people shouldn't be doing business on Sunday. Well, that's gone by the board. Today, that's just not the case anymore. But there are so many examples in which now laws are in effect in America that would have been considered absolutely outrageous and offensive to the religious sensibilities of the American people 20 or 30 years ago, and today, or which are just taken for granted. And people forget the extent to it. I mean, for example, today, our political leaders sanction and give support to openly homosexual groups, gay groups. Well, when I was born, homosexuality was a crime. It was illegal, and people who were homosexuals were put in prison.
Wow.
I'll put it this way. If a country like the United States today had existed in the 1940s, we would consider it an abomination. We would have attacked it. We would have denounced it. That's how much things have changed. But people should remember and keep in mind that the standards that we have in America today in the year 2009 or the year 1990 or the year 1980 are not necessarily the same standards and the same mores and the same customs 10 years earlier or 10 years later. Things change like that. Certainly,
of course.
And that's reflected in our different things. But that's one of the problems of so-called conservatism in America. The conservatives, the people who call themselves conservatives, accept policies and accept things that 20 years earlier they would have found outrageous. Right now, conservatives are against the national health care plan. Well, there was a time when conservatives were equally angry and outraged about the Social Security system. But now they all accept that.
And rightfully so.
They accept that. They accept that. They think that's just fine. But the conservatives have no real principles. Most conservatives in America are utterly lacking in principle, where they say this is where we draw the line and this is where we stand. Instead, they're willing to compromise even on matters that they used to regard as matters of principle.
Oh, wow, big one. But we just have 2 minutes left here, Mark. So the topic tonight, of course, global policy. Now, if in fact they do succeed with this global mentality, global governance that we seem to be headed for, who is going to be the dictator of the globe?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be any dictators. In fact, things are breaking down, not only in the world, but here even in our own country. Things are breaking down in this country. America.
Well, if it's a global governance, I mean, there is a structure of hierarchy. So one either person, country, self-proclaimed leader, or what have you, is going to have to proclaim that the global rule, right?
Well, I don't think globalism is happening that way. In America, people who talk about globalism are corporate interests are pushing for globalism in that sense. But America's place in the world is less and less powerful compared to what it was 30 or 40 years ago. America was much more dominant in the world financially, economically, and politically during the 1950s and 60s and 70s than it is today. And its role in the world is being eroded and challenged increasingly. Because America's economic place in the world is less and less. We're going to see if there was any kind of major American dominance of the world, it was especially in the decades right after World War II.
Mark, we just have a couple seconds here. Sorry to cut you off, but maybe there's a if you could sum it up in say 30 seconds or less, is there a solution?
I think the main thing is to awaken people. Programs like this one are important. The worker groups like the IHR are important. It's absolutely crucial that we reach above all younger men and women who can and must be the leaders of the future. And that's always a minority of people who have the intelligence and the heart and the soul to care about these issues over the long run. That's always a minority, but that's the primary group. The primary people we should be aiming for, above all, are younger people who are intelligent and caring.
All right. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And, you know, I do just kind of want to say, hopefully we can turn that minority to a majority, because after all, if the little people stood up, we wouldn't be so little. Thank you all for listening tonight. God bless. I hope to see you tomorrow night.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results with your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Fanning, Weird Radio, Russell Dowden, and so much more. American Freedom Radio.